It's noon here in Ventnor City, New Jersey, and our nation's capital, Washington, D.C., and this is news that you can use from Car Edge for Monday, March 18th, with your host, me, Ray, and, well, the good-looking dude, Zach. Happy post-St. Patrick's Day. Handsome, how are you today?
Doing well, Pops. Happy Monday to y'all. Again, today's show brought to you by us, CarEdge.com. We have our end of month promotion coming tomorrow, so stay tuned for that. If I were you, I would wait 24 hours and take advantage of our end of month sale. Now, Dad, the lead story today.
Yes.
Gen Z have stopped paying their auto loans. We have some of the latest data, the most recent weekly auto market update from Cox Automotive. Yes. And, well, it points a disappointing picture for auto loan performance. We'll tie this back to Gen Z in just a moment. Auto loan performance saw mixed trends in February as delinquencies increased, but defaults declined. That's good news on the defaults declining. Loans that were delinquent 60 days or more increased for the 10th month in a row and were up 8.5% from a year ago. In February, 2.04% of auto loans were severely delinquent. That was up from 2.03% in January and the highest rate dating back to at least 2006. Of subprime auto loans, Dad, we are at 7.99. For those of you that want to round up, that is 8% of subprime auto loans are now severely delinquent, up from 7.91% in January. And the delinquency rate, Dad, has never been higher. At the same time, we've seen... The Federal Reserve has put out different pieces of data over the past couple of weeks and months. Younger borrowers are the ones that are going delinquent more frequently than older borrowers. And younger borrowers are also the generation that is one of the generations most likely to spend $1,000 or more on their car payment. We'll dig into that data in just a moment. Are you shocked at the information I'm sharing with you this morning?
You know, I when I saw the headline of today's show, and just so everybody understands, I find out the same time you do, folks. I have no idea what the show's going to be. I keep refreshing the page so I can see if Zach posted the show for the day. So when I saw that the Generation Z have stopped paying their car loans, I Googled, what is the age range for Generation Z? It's 11 years old to 26 years old. So those 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17-year-old kids who aren't paying their car loans, shame on you. Shame, shame on. This is such a small percentage of the population that we're talking about, Zach. Generation Z. Wait a second. Wait a second. You have to be 18 years old in order to be able to legally sign for a car loan. So you're talking about kids 18 to 26 years old. The entire generation, oh my God, you know, half of that Generation Z couldn't get a car loan. I don't know if their parents co-signed for them. So
I actually have some data about that as well for today's show, but percentage of balances transitioning into delinquency in Q4 of 2023, it's not even close, Dad. It's those 11-year-olds that are not making their payments. 11.9% of Generation Z is in auto loan or in loan delinquency. Millennials at 9.6%, Gen X at 7%, baby boomers at 4.8%. And then let me put you on the spot. Okay, go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, you know, I don't think, just between you, me, and a few people that are watching and listening today, I don't think 18 to say 25 year olds have reached their earning peak at between the ages of 18 and 25. So we're talking about people who have agreed to take loan payments of $1,000 or more because they're still living in their parents' basement and you know they're making $2,000 a month or whatever it is. Yeah, I get why the percentage would be high. I do, but they haven't come close to their earning potential. They haven't if they have maxed out their earning potential between the ages of 18 and 25, well, then the whole country's going down the toilet. Okay? So I know, okay, so So 12 kids have decided not to make their car payments. Who cares?
Okay, well, that's fine. You don't want to bash the 11 to 17 year olds who can't even get approved for an auto loan. Yeah. There is truly a delinquency crisis happening. The latest data from Cox Automotive paints that picture broadly across all the full spectrum of auto loans out there, Dad. So it's not just young people. Again, the Cox Automotive data, it is the highest level of auto loan delinquencies dating all the way back to 2006. So happens to be the 10th month in a row that auto loan delinquency rates are up.
That's something. But the 12 kids in Generation Z who are severely delinquent, that number, that, you know, that 11.3% of, you know, why, you know what, how many kids are we talking about? That part of the equation doesn't mean that much to me. The fact that delinquencies are up significantly and are at the highest point that they've been since 2006, that matters. Okay, but to pin the blame on 18 to 28 year olds is, I don't want to suggest it's disingenuous, but it's disingenuous at best.
I don't think it's pinning the blame, Dad, of where we are. I think it's representative of the next generation of spenders in our country are going to have the worst credit profiles of any generation that's come to spending power. Like, that's what this says to me, you know? Like, look at this chart again. Give me one second. Let me pull it up on the screen.
But maybe the 11 to 17-year-olds, okay, will make up for what the current 18 to 20...
No.
Yeah, maybe.
Look at this chart. I mean, This literally shows you that the younger the generation, the worse at following through their credit obligations.
But that's normal, isn't it? I mean, don't you think life experience factors into these things so that, I don't know, the older you get, the greater life experience you have, the better you handle certain things. Isn't that all?
I do
part
think that's
of
fair.
Growing
yeah,
up,
of course.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So an 18-year-old kid who, okay, thinks their parents are morons. What do my parents know? I'm 18. I know everything. So do you think those kids who commit themselves to a car note, okay, and can commit themselves to, they don't have enough life experience to really understand things. When you were 18, did you think as clearly about things as you do today at 28?
No, of course not.
Okay. So if you entered into a contract when you were 18 and you didn't really know anything, you only thought that you did, then the likelihood of you making a mistake or having made a mistake was significantly higher than someone who might have been 10 or 15 years older than you. Life experience matters. It colors what we do.
All right, you're setting yourself up for this one. All right, so if we're going to buy into the Ray Shefska train of thought that life experience matters, then humor me on this one, Dad. Why is Hertz, their CEO, stepping down? Okay, Mr. Goldman Sachs himself, this is a Goldman Sachs executive that came in after Hertz's bankruptcy, purchased 100,000 Teslas, and is now leaving. All right.
I can explain that.
I'm pretty sure. Wait, how old is Stephen Scherr? I'm going to Google
59.
That.
59. He's 59.
59. Great. Okay. Yeah. All right. There you go.
Okay. I can explain that. He worked in Wall Street, okay, which has nothing to do with real life, okay? These people live and work in a fantasy land, make money by doing nothing productive, just knowing how to move money around, okay? And then, he wasn't their first choice to be the CEO when they came out of bankruptcy. The guy they hired to replace him is and was. But, you know, he's a money guy. He's a Goldman Sachs guy. He's bought into this EV transition, thinking that it's going to happen quicker than it really is. And so why would you think someone like that would ever have his fingers on the pulse of what the American public really wants? All he knows is how to move money around so that it makes him more money. So there, that's my explanation for that. Get somebody to run these businesses that actually, I don't know, has a conversation with average people.
So the story over at Hertz, for those of you that are unfamiliar, they went bankrupt, what was it, 2.5 years ago now, Dad? And their, you know, coming out of bankruptcy plan was to go all in on electric vehicles. They bought 100,000 Teslas. Tom Brady came out in their advertising campaigns. And yeah, there you go. Ultimately ended up with the CEO being removed. And now 100,000 yes. Teslas that have lost a ton of value. Yes. I think Tesla prices on the used car market are down. I think it's like 62% from their all-time highs, which was 18 months ago or so. So Tesla owners in general, and obviously if you're a commercial buyer that has 100,000 of them, I mean, you're losing millions, hundreds yes. of millions of dollars.
And you know, let's face it, if you're Hertz, you know, do some quick math. Look at your fleet. See how many vehicles in your fleet are involved in accidents, major or minor. And then realize that even a minor accident on an EV is a major accident on an EV, okay? Because the cost of repair is significantly higher. If yeah. you don't take any of those statistics into account before you say, hey, let's buy 100,000 Model 3s and Ys, well, then you're setting yourself up for failure, for goodness sake. I mean, you spend your days as a data nerd. You mm-hmm. look at data all the time, okay? We utilize it on this channel all the time. Mm-hmm. Well, don't you think they should have looked at how frequently their vehicles, their rental fleet is involved in accidents and what the cost of those accidents might add up to be? And you know, it wasn't hard to know that when an EV has an accident in what most of us would consider to be minor, in many cases on an EV, it's major because sometimes, more often than not, it might impact the battery. And guess what? That battery pack is a lot more expensive than, say, a bumper cover. So, you know, it's shame on these people. These people only know how to move money around to make more money. They are not in touch with real people. Okay. They're not interested in what you or I or the vast majority of Americans would have to say. Okay. All they care about is, well, if we move this amount of money from X and we put it over here in Y, how much profit can we pick up for having done that? That's all they care about. They don't care about what you want to buy, what I want to buy, what I think makes sense, what you think makes sense. They don't care. Okay. So yeah, this is what happens. And who do you bring in? The guy who was the COO of Cruise Robo Taxis. Okay, and what happened to Cruise? I don't know. They lied to the government about some issues that they had with their vehicles. Sounds to me like the perfect guy you want to bring in to restore our faith in Hertz. Get the hell out of here. I mean, give me a break. I'm sorry. I'll be good now.
Purple mattress. My dad recently got a new mattress. He's been sleeping great. He's got good energy. Speaking of being in touch with the people, let's jump here to the chat, Dad. First and foremost, Dantastic. Thank you. I need to personally thank Ray for calling people like me an idiot for the past several months.
There you have it.
Slippery slope, Dantastic. I was paying $720 a month for a car I could pay for, but couldn't really afford. I traded it in on a nice 2017 5-speed Nissan Versa with 49,000 miles, $9,800 out the door with a 6-year warranty.
Glad I could help, Dantastic. I didn't mean to have to call you and others like you idiots, but you know, sometimes it's the only way to get people's attention.
And Dantastic, thank you as well for the $2 contribution. Life experience definitely matters. I hear you. I just think it's ironic that life experience or just prescribing that age means you have wisdom, because this story from Hertz is a perfect example of age does not equate to wisdom.
No, it depends. It depends where you've lived your life and how you've lived your life. And if you've lived your life working for Goldman Sachs for God knows how many years, you have a warped idea of what the American public is and what they want. Okay. You have this this money-based idea as to how you can move money from X to Y and how you can make money doing that and how you can package things to make it's not like people on Wall Street produce anything. Okay. You know, I mean, they produce profits. That's what they produce. We know how to move money around to make more money. We don't know how to build anything. We don't know how to come up with anything of any value. Okay. But we do know how to make money by moving it around. That's not the same as somebody being, I don't know, on the manufacturing line at an automobile manufacturer, or somebody working at Home Depot, or wherever you want it, a food server somewhere. It's what the life experience of people that work on Wall Street has nothing to do with the rest of us. They are not in touch with the rest of us. They're just not. And to think otherwise is absolutely foolish.
Let's see what happens over at Hertz. They've hired an executive away from Cruise, which yes. You rightly pointed out has withheld information from safety regulators. But anyway, yeah. we'll see what happens there. Dad, let's come back to the chat here. AJ15, okay. Thank you for the kind contribution. I am $18,000 upside down on my Tesla. Looking at a Volkswagen Atlas lease or finance, reason is because I need an SUV. How should I stop the bleeding? No more EV for me. All right, there's going to be a lot of people over the coming weeks, months, and even over the past few weeks and months with significant, severe negative equity. $18,000 upside down, Dad. What do you do here to get into that Volkswagen Atlas?
How much cash do you have? Because if you don't have cash, and I'm guessing you don't have gap insurance, so it's not like you can look for a tornado coming down the street and suddenly jump out of your car. how are you going to stop the bleeding? You know, a tourniquet isn't going to help. You can't stop. The only thing that you can do is how are you prepared to handle your negative equity? If you are not prepared to handle it, I don't care if you want an Atlas or a Q5. It doesn't matter what you want because you can't have it. Okay. You can't bury $18,000 worth of negative into one of those vehicles and hope that all that negative is going to go away. It's not. So at a certain point, regardless of what you have and what you want, you have to face reality. And reality is that as Tesla continued to chase market share, they screwed their existing customers by continually dropping the asking prices of their new cars. It took the floor out of how far down Teslas could drop. And that's what's killing Hertz, trying to get rid of those damn things. That's why you're $18,000 upside down. You know, I get it, but you wanted to do what you thought was the right thing at that time. And you're buried because of it. Tesla doesn't care about you. Tesla cares about market share and producing more vehicles. That's it. And in order to do that, if they have to drop their prices to hurt their competition and hurt you, that's what they're going to do. And that's what they have done.
Yeah, I just want to pull up just to quantify this. So here's from Car Gurus. This is the Tesla price index, used Tesla price index. So at the high water mark, you were having Teslas selling used Teslas in July of 2022 at $67,858. That was the average used Tesla transaction price in July of 2022. Today, it is $32,209.
So in less than 2 years, they've lost $30,000 of their value. Sounds like a hell of a buy to me. This is one of the ones where I joke, hey, if I was your stockbroker and I called you up and I said, Zach, give me $62,000 today, I'll show you how to turn it into $32,000 in less than 2 years. I don't think you'd want me as your broker. This is a perfect example of that. You know, when people were buying those, they're buying hype. That's what they bought. They bought the hype.
To be clear, it's not just a Tesla thing. I mean, this was like the whole 2022 problem. Tesla's price drops obviously are significant, but we see it. We see it across the board. This is the Ford F-150, you know, Lightning F-150 that we talked about last week too.
But Tesla's price drops exacerbated it for Tesla owners. You know, Ford and others that are having difficulty selling their EVs, they're just having trouble selling, and that's what's causing the value. I mean, you did it on that Lightning Platinum the other day where it dropped $50,000. Okay, the market is nowhere near as strong for pre-owned EVs as what people had expected it to be.
Definitely. We are seeing used car prices start to come down a little bit, regardless of powertrain. They're still elevated from where they were pre-pandemic, but EVs in particular have taken a bigger plunge, especially because a lot of them were selling with market adjustments during the inventory shortage. So yeah, it's quite the wild ride. I think we're going to have many more community members that are $10,000, $15,000, $20,000 upside down.
I feel sorry for that person. I really do. But there really is, I don't know how you stop that bleeding.
Question for you, what was the most in your career, what was the most you ever saw someone roll over negative equity rise in a car loan?
People with some really good credit, I've seen them roll like $8,000-$10,000 in. I had people before the Great Recession when everybody was using their homes as a bank. Okay. And I had people. They came into the Acura store and they wanted to buy an MDX.
This is in Arizona, right?
This is in Arizona. When we were in Arizona, it might have been 2006, 2007. And they were, if I remember correctly, they were like $25,000 or $30,000 upside down in their current vehicle. But they wanted an MDX. And how they did it and how they planned to do it was, well, they were going to use their home equity line of credit because, you know, back in 2005, 2006, 2000, you know, home values were skyrocketing. It was nuts. And people just, they used their homes as a bank. And so in order to get that MDX, they took out like a $30,000 home equity line of credit. They used $30,000 of the home equity line of credit in order to buy the MDX. So they didn't roll that into a new loan. They just rolled it into what they owed on their house. And it wasn't like when you utilize a home equity line of credit, it's not like people are going, yeah, I've got to pay X amount of dollars every month, you know, for the next 5 years or 6 years. It's like, they give you like 10 to 15 years to pay this stuff off. Do you have any idea how much interest that would be? You know, or in many cases, the people just thought, well, hey, when it comes time, we'll just sell the house and we'll cash out that way. Well, then something happened called the Great Recession. You couldn't cash out of your house if you wanted to. I have
you saw some pretty crazy stuff.
I have personally witnessed people doing some of the stupidest stuff that they could possibly do. And I remember saying to them, are you sure you want to do this? And they would go, oh, no, it makes perfect sense. Doesn't make sense. Doesn't make any damn sense. Oh, no, this is what we want. It's worth it to us to do it. You know, there's as someone that is tasked with selling products, there's only so much effort you're willing to put forth to try and talk somebody out of doing something they shouldn't do. And if they want to insist that they should, it's your job to let them. Okay. It's just that, I mean, really think about it. I can't sell you. My employer would fire me. Okay. I would strongly recommend that this doesn't make a whole lot of sense to you. Yeah, but we want to do it. Okay, if you insist, then let's go ahead with it. But I mean, I literally would say, I don't think financially this is a good decision. It is for us. Okie dokie. I feel better for having said what I said. If you want to screw equity yourself,
line of credit I can't help to you buy that. An Acura MDX, man. That's
That's crazy. It's crazy stuff, buddy. I've seen it all.
Jumping back here to the chat from Daniel. Thank you, Daniel.
Thank you, Daniel.
Good morning, Ray and Zach. I'm interested in buying a 2024 SUV, Jeep Wrangler, 4Runner, or Telluride. If you could please give me some advice based on today's market. Awesome. Let's do it. All of these vehicles can be purchased below MSRP.
Yes.
The fun game becomes, it's like, what's it? Limbo. Limbo. Yeah. How low can you go?
Yes. Yes.
And you put it here in pretty good order. The Telluride, you can probably get, I don't know, $1,000 to $2,000 off of MSRP. The 4Runner, let me double check what our pricing is for those of you that are unfamiliar. We do now have a Toyota dealer in the CarEdge dealer network, $1,000 under MSRP if you purchase that Toyota through CarEdge. So I'm sure if you could pit a bunch of dealers together, you could probably do even better than that, maybe $1,500 off. The Jeep Wrangler, oh man, on Wranglers, you're probably getting 20%.
At least depending on 15, the 15, yeah, 15 from the manufacturer in most cases. Yeah.
So use the market data back on CarEdge.com to make an informed decision here. And you also obviously have some pretty easy options buying directly from or through CarEdge. But yeah, those are all good options in today's market. None of those have MSRP pricing or MSRP plus pricing.
Well, you know, you say that. And there are still Jeep dealers out there, sure, who are still asking for additional dealer markups, hoping that somebody comes in and just goes, okay. Totally. We know that between the manufacturer and the dealers, and dealers that CDJR dealers that we know, there's huge discounts to be had. They want to get off this stuff. So just be aware that even though you shouldn't pay a market adjustment, there will still be some CDJR dealers out there that are going to play hardball. And if you happen to get in touch with one of those, go find a different one.
Yeah, 100%. Hey, by the way, we're working on our first Honda dealer for the CarEdge network, so wish us luck. We're beginning conversations this week. I'll keep everyone posted. From Rich. Rich, thanks for being here. Yes. Ray, when do flying cars become affordable? I'm chomping at the bit here. That could be the next, you know,
yeah, affordable. Maybe the new CEO of Hertz can help you with that. I certainly can't, but you know what? When they do become affordable, nobody can afford them, so it won't really matter. Americans won't have any money left by then.
From Chloepo, good to see you here, sir. Hey, gang. I live in Tampa, Florida. Generally, is it cheaper to buy a car out of state and ship it or to try and negotiate the dealer fees here? Head to Georgia.
Yeah, it's generally cheaper to buy the car out of state and ship it.
And, or just go drive and pick it up. But
yeah, yes. Yes, because I don't know too many states where the average dock fee is like $1,000.
With the processing fee, it's like you end up paying $2,000 in fees.
And the electronic filing fee and the dealers in Florida have the most egregious dealer fees that they've created in the history of humankind. It is just, it's absolutely silly what they've been able to come up with. And the sad reality is that the vast majority of Floridians just pay it.
Yeah.
You know, it's kind of sad. You know, they've turned every fee into a profit center.
Without a doubt. There's absolutely no just, I mean, California has an $85 dock fee and those dealers do just fine. There's absolutely no justification for $1,000. Just a profit center. From Austin. Austin, thanks for the kind contribution. Zach and Ray, need your help on a lease deal. 2024 Mazda CX-5 Carbon Edition. Money factor looks like it's at buy rate. $33,000 MSRP. They quoted me $2,480 due at signing. Includes first month payment tax, the acquisition fee. 10,000 miles a year and $421 a month. Thoughts? Payment seems a little high with that much money down. We just did a CX-30 lease. And I think it was $349.
Yeah, $349. I would say it depends what state. Okay. For instance, if you're in Maryland, will you pay all the sales tax up front based on the selling price of the vehicle to the leasing company? But $2,480, due at signing seems a bit high.
Yeah, that seems high, and then the payment seems high. I'd be very curious, Austin, what the capitalized cost is.
Yes, we need to know. I mean, the capitalized cost, if you should probably be able to get, if the car has an MSRP of $33,000, I'm thinking you should probably be able to buy it for $31,000, $31,500 maybe.
Yeah.
That seems a tad bit high, and a tad bit might be on the low side of expressing how high that payment might be.
Share that over on the community forum, Austin, and Space or one of the other members of the community can put their eyes on. And from Van Dam, thank you, Van Dam. Are there any OEM discounts on the Grand Wagoneer? Thank you. I actually don't know of any programs right now on the Grand Wagoneer.
If you buy a several million dollar yacht, the Grand Wagoneer comes as your anchor.
That was a good one.
Yeah. I believe that Stellantis and Jeep in particular has decided that they're just going to live and die with however many of those they sell. And they're not really going to support them in any great manner in order to help their dealers get rid of them. So, go find a yacht broker and see if you can figure out a way to include a Grand Wagoneer as that ship's anchor.
Not a bad concept. Also not a bad concept, folks, CarEdge.com. All of our tools, resources, free programs, guides, everything back on CarEdge.com. If we can help you out this month, please let us do that. Like I said, every month we run promotions back on CarEdge.com, and our end of month promotion starts tomorrow. So you'll be able to get 20% off of our data, our coach plans, our consultation plans. Everything will have a discount except for our concierge service. That's one thing, unfortunately, we can't discount, at least not yet. If you're interested in working with us, you can contact me directly, Zach, Z-A-C-H, at CarEdge.com, or please check out the website. We appreciate everyone that supports us. From Anastasio Rodriguez, thank you. Do you think a Cash for Clunkers 2.0 could happen? You know what they would call it this time, Dad? The upside down trade-in event sponsored by the federal government. Like, that's like the only Cash for Clunkers I could see would be the Federal Reserve doing auto loan debt forgiveness to try and get buyers back in the market. That'd be the only thing I could see.
The reason there was Cash for Clunkers originally was the industry was dying because of the Great Recession. And so the thought was, well, we'll take our older, junkier vehicles that pollute excessively and get bad gas mileage and give people a big chunk of change to trade it in for something that's more efficient. And I can tell you, at least at the dealership that I was working at the time, they really were clunkers. I mean, these were not vehicles that as a dealership you would ever say to yourself, we're going to retail these. You're not. Yeah. They were absolute crap. Okay. And there was a good reason for them to be crushed. Now, I can only speak for the dealership that I was at. There are plenty of people who say, Cash for Clunkers destroyed inexpensive quality used cars. Not from what I saw, but perhaps in some areas it did. But it was, those clunkers were truly clunkers. They were.
But do you think we'll see a 2.0? Do you think we'll see a 2.0?
No, absolutely. No. How can you? There's a shortage of used cars now. We've discussed this for the past 2 years. There were at least in the United States, 10 million new cars that were scheduled to have been built that were never built. So there were 10 million sales that didn't happen. And if 60% of the people had a trade-in, that meant there were 6 million trades that dealers never got their hands on. So there's a shortage of used cars. So you can't take more used cars that there's already a shortage of and say, okay, we're going to pay you too much for them and we're just going to turn them into a crushed metal. You're not going to see that. And you know, the federal government and many state governments are already doing all they can to get people to buy into the concept of electric vehicles between state and federal tax credits. So, no, I don't foresee a Cash for Clunkers 2 anytime soon. You know, might something like that might happen closer to 2030 when the federal government's trying to hit the EV sales goals. But until that time, I don't see it happening.
I hear you loud and clear. I do wonder if we'll end up with like auto loan forgiveness or something like that. It pains me to come out of my mouth. But I mean, I think you could be looking at, I mean, how many people bought cars over the past 2.5 years that are now going to be $10,000+ underwater?
I don't care. I, for one, and you know, I spent 43 years in retail automotive. I do not want to see the federal government say to people, well, we're going to forgive your car loan. You were stupid enough to sign up for it. Live up to your obligations. Don't expect the government to bail your ass out. And I don't want my tax dollars going to do that. Okay. And I realize some of the people that when they paid too much and they purchased 2 years ago, they didn't have a choice. They literally really needed a car. But there were plenty of people who had choices, didn't literally need a new car, but they wanted one. And if they got themselves in trouble because of they wanted something, guess what? Live with your choice. Don't expect me or your federal government or your state government or that bank to bail your ass out.
This is also the interesting dynamic, which is the best, most financially prudent thing you can do when you are underwater on your existing car is just keep paying it off. Just pay it off and drive it into the ground, which many people don't take into consideration the full cost of ownership of certain vehicles. Remember, it was on Saturday night. We did the Saturday night show, and a community member asked us about our opinion on a BMW X1 with 117,000 miles on it. And what we did is we went to our own extended warranty quoter, and we put in a 2016 BMW X1 with 117,000 miles, and the extended warranty for 4 years was $4,000. And then we put in a comparable Subaru with the same amount of miles, and it was $2,000. People don't think about that when they pay too much for these. Yeah, so like, you then also are burdened with the cost of owning it, but you know, still, that makes more sense to pay for those repairs and pay and drive it into the ground than it does to you know, feel like you need to trade it in and move on. From Chelsea here, Dad. Hello, I am looking to buy my first car. Congratulations, Chelsea. You found the right place. Should I get an older cash car and wait for interest rates to lower, or is there something newer I could get? Thank you. What are your thoughts on this, Pops?
Well, it depends on what your budget is. Are there... what did we establish? That there's 9 vehicles in the United States, 9 models, 9 new car models that are available for sale in this country with an MSRP of $25,000 and lower. I would probably prefer somebody to go into a new vehicle that's in that price range, then say go into a used older vehicle, higher mileage, that might have 15, 16, $17,000. At least on the new car, especially as a first-time buyer, you have a warranty for 3 years, 36,000 miles. On a pre-owned car, you got nothing. Okay, so anything that goes wrong, it's on you. And there's the number of inexpensive quality used cars out there is really limited. And to get your hands on one is going to be extremely difficult. If you do decide to go the pre-owned route, you absolutely, positively must get a pre-purchase inspection done of that vehicle so that you can find out what the real health of that vehicle might be and what issues you might be looking at somewhere down the road. So now people say, well, where do I go to get a pre-purchase inspection? Let's say you're looking at a Honda that's at a Toyota dealer's lot. Make arrangements to take that Honda to your local Honda dealer and have them do an inspection to see what it might need. If you have a Ford that's for sale at a Honda dealership's lot, take it to your local Ford dealer if you can't find a local mechanic that you trust. So personally, I think as a first-time buyer, you might be better off with a low-priced new car. I'll throw out two, Chevy Trax, a Buick Envista. Yes, they're made in Korea. Yes, they're three-cylinder vehicles. The Mazda
CX-30.
The Mazda CX. There are vehicles out there that will provide you with warranty coverage and reasonably priced, so that that might be the better way to go.
I dropped in the chat for everyone. We have, if you just Google search, we're working on a better search for our website, but quite frankly, just use Google. Type in, how much should I spend on a car, space Car Edge, and read about our 10% rule. Or here on YouTube, we have it over on the Car Edge channel as well. So please, please, please start there to answer that initial question you said, which is, what's your budget? Start there. Yeah. And then to your point, you'd be thinking about a, if you can't afford it in your budget, a new car, a cheaper new car, yes, more economical new car than a used car. And yeah, the quality of used cars in today's market are rough, to say the yes least. So great, great job calling out on the pre-purchase inspection as well.
Well, you know, Dad, even I've learned that over the last 4.5 years.
Definitely. Yeah. Definitely. Folks, if we can help you out, please, again, caredge.com. We'll be back again tomorrow for more news you can use with me and my dad. Tune in then. Any parting shots?
No, I just wish everybody a good day out there today. You know, just between us, kids, spring is just 2 days away.
All right, Dad. Well, I'll see you tomorrow. Love you. Thank you, everyone, for being here.
Yep. Thank you, Zach. Love you, too. Have a... Before I say goodbye, what's David want to know?
David, thanks for keeping us on. We appreciate it. Which is better, the Chrysler Pacifica or Kia Carnival? Do not want the hybrid CN and the Honda Odyssey's rear air doesn't work well here in Phoenix, Arizona. I don't know which one's better. I do.
I would recommend the Carnival over the Pacifica.
There you go.
And don't just believe me. Check Consumer Reports. I think you're much better off with the Carnival than you are with the Pacifica.
Well, yeah. I mean, it is a Chrysler product. Okay, yeah, go Carnival. Dad, I love you. See you tomorrow. Everyone, happy Monday. Thanks for spending some time with us.
Absolutely. See everybody back here tomorrow. Thanks, everybody.